Happy Memorial Day weekend. That's what it is. Amen. I'm off work tomorrow. Thank the Lord. Amen. It's good to see everyone here this morning. We've been filling in a couple of lessons after we finished Romans chapter 8. And I told you, I felt like my plan was we were going to go to John chapter number 3 and go through that chapter. And just kind of doing some great chapters of the Bible. They're all great. They're God's Word, right? But some of them just seem to have more doctrinal content to them. And so that's what we're going to do, some of these, hopefully. So turn this morning to John chapter number 3, and we're going to jump right into it. I thought about doing a overview or introduction, but I just ain't going to. We just go straight get into what the Scripture says. So, John chapter number 3 this morning. Thank God for those that are defending our country, those that have defended our country in the past, and some people gave their lives for our country. Some people get that thing kind of mixed up, like if you do that, that's in place of salvation. It's not. Many people that have died defending our country and went to hell because they were not born again. And whether we're a soldier or whether we're not, it's mine your responsibility to tell people you must be born again. Like the brother says, we're a soldier for Christ, whether you signed up and get a check for it or not. So all people need to be born again. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. John chapter number 3. Start in verse number 1. The Bible says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answering and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. I'm going to teach a lesson this morning on why ye must be born again. Amen. Brother Tim, would you pray for us?
Lord,
we'd
like to thank you for letting us get into your house this morning, Father. I ask you, please, not to preach behind the cross. Give me clarity of thought, Father. And yes, God. Give us what's in your book, Father. As well,
thank you.
Amen.
The Bible says, ye must be born again.
That's right.
There's not a whole lot of must in here, right? I mean, there's a lot of things we ought to do.
Yeah.
You know, you ought to live right. Yeah. But you're not going to go to heaven or hell because you live right.
Yeah, amen.
We ought to dress right and act right and look right. It's our testimony. It's going to draw other people to Christ. Yeah. But how you dress does not determine where you spend eternity.
That's right.
Ye must be born again, amen, is what Jesus Christ said. And I want to talk a few minutes about why we must be born again. You know, we talked a lot about salvation, Romans chapter 8, and we know salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And it's a spiritual transaction. It's not a physical transaction. It'll affect your life, but it's a spiritual thing. When you believe on Jesus Christ, you are quickened, made spiritually alive. You are baptized, spiritual baptism, baptized into the body of Christ, and you are spiritually circumcised. Your soul is cut loose from that flesh and is sealed, and you are eternally secure. We know that. So I'm not going to talk about how to be born again. I want to talk about why you must be born again.
Yeah.
And it's sad that we must talk about why you must be born again. Because this old world just will not have it. We must be born again because we were born bad the first time. That's contrary to what the world says, right? Most people, most even religious people, look at it as man is basically good. We just got to hone that goodness and sharpen that goodness, and we'll get good enough to where God will allow us to enter into heaven when we die. That's the whole fatherhood of God, brotherhood of man. I got news for you. It don't work that way.
That's right.
It don't work that way.
No, sir.
You, if you've never been born again, never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are not a child of God. According to what the Bible says, you're a child of wrath. You are of your father, the devil. Does that mean you're a desperately wicked person out robbing banks and healing people? No. But we're still wicked, separated from God. David said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." It's passed down for great, 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 great grandfather Adam.
Yeah.
It's passed down. It's a blood issue.
Yeah, amen.
It's something that you can't do nothing about.
Yeah.
I've said before, take the little ones. We don't have to teach them to be bad.
Mm-hmm.
They take care of that all by themselves.
Yeah, right.
Why? Because it's in them.
Yeah, yep.
It's in all of us. It's in you.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how circumspectly you may walk, it's in you to be wicked. It's a blood issue. And if you talk to people in this world and talk to them about being good, a lot of people, about being born again, a lot of people just don't want to hear it. They don't understand or see the need for being saved, for being born again, what Jesus said right here in this passage. And Nicodemus came to him. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. He was one of the head honcho religious people. And he had no idea what Jesus was talking about when it came to spiritual matters.
That's right.
He didn't have a clue. So you may have some paperwork for the wall that shows you've got your theological credentials, but you know what? That don't mean you understand what the Bible says.
That's right.
There are professors all over this country teaching this Bible. And they know the words in it, and they can probably quote it better than you and I can. And they know the languages and don't believe a bit of it.
You're right.
My brother-in-law was a pastor. He was going to school for, he's got his degree in banking, Lord help him, finance. And he said he took a religious course. That was like one electives. He said, this thing looks good. And he was a young man at the time, but he was called to preach. He wasn't pastor. He was preaching. Had been saved several years, and he said before he got done, that man had him so mixed up, he just had to sit down at his kitchen table and take a Bible and say, Lord, help me.
Yeah.
Why? Because that man knew the words, but he didn't believe them. Why you and I, everyone, must be born again?
Yeah, amen.
Number one, it's a spiritual matter. It's a spiritual thing. Jesus, look at verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, because Nicodemus has said, how can I be born again? Can I enter a second time into my mother's womb? No, you can't enter a second time into your mother's womb, Nicodemus. Verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Water. My water has broken. Somebody better get to the hospital. It's not time to be playing around. We'll not catch it tomorrow because the game's on today. You better be getting somewhere when the water breaks. A child inside the mother's womb is in the water. It's the fluid, right? If you've been born, you've been born of the water. They didn't find you under the cabbage leaf. That's what you used to tell your kid, right? We found you in the cabbage patch under a cabbage leaf.
Yeah.
No. You were born of the water. That's a physical birth. That's what Jesus is speaking of. And people try to make it out, well, the water is the washing of the word. No, the water is the water when you were born.
Right.
It's a physical birth. Jesus said, a man must be born of water. If he's not born of water, you ain't going to be talking to him.
That's right.
And of the Spirit.
That's right.
He cannot enter the kingdom of God. So there's a second birth, right? You've all heard the saying, to be born once is to die twice. To be born twice is to die once. Right? Born again. Well, how do you know what he's talking about? Look at verse number 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. What a birth, right? So what he's saying, and that which is born of the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit, is spirit.
That's right.
We must be born again because it is a spiritual matter. All people are spiritually dead. Our sin has separated between us and our God.
Yep.
Ephesians 2 and 1 says, ye hath he quickened who were dead.
That's right.
That's what the Bible says.
It.
It's a spiritual matter. And we can take care of this flesh, and we can monitor this flesh and keep this flesh in subjection and feed this flesh the right food and don't let this flesh drink Mountain Dew. Man, Mountain Dew's good, ain't it? You can do all of that and eat oatmeal for breakfast and do all what you want to do. But spiritually, there's nothing you yourself can do physically to help your spiritual deadness. Nothing. Nothing. You can't serve your way into heaven. You can serve your way on the way to heaven, and we should. You can't worship your way into heaven. We should worship on our way to heaven if we live to be 100 years old. But God will not allow you to enter into heaven because you worship properly. Can't do it. The Bible says you must be born again. Heard a man preaching a while back. He was preaching, and he said, started off pretty strong, but then he said, salvation is not about heaven or hell, but it's about worshiping the Lord. If salvation is not about heaven or hell, what is it about?
Yeah.
Right? And that sounded very spiritual and makes you sound like a PhD, but there's no Bible in it.
Yeah, right.
It means nothing to a lost person. Salvation is not about hell or hell, it's about worship. That don't mean not a single solitary thing to a lost person. It's like when you take fire out of hell, right? Hell's complete separation from God. It is, right? But it's while you're in hellfire. You know what separation from God means to a lost person? Nothing, because they're separated from God. Now you tell them it's separation from God and you are going to be burning in hellfire, that'll click some wheels right there, because everybody's been burnt by something, right? We've touched a hot car, we bumped up against the ice, something, somehow or another, we've all been burnt. I remember Sarah Catherine got burned out here one night. We was roasting marshmallows on a coat hanger. That's probably not the best thing to do. And she touched that coat hanger. It was just a little bitty old place. But if you ask her right now, she remembered that thing.
Yeah.
If salvation is not about heaven or hell, what is it about? You cannot worship or serve your way into heaven.
Amen.
And you know, this is the born again chapter, right? If you mention born again to a Baptist, they're going to take you to John chapter 3. The very next chapter, John chapter 4, Jesus meets a woman at the well. And she's lost as a golf ball on high weeds, just like we all were. And he begins to speak spiritual things to her about himself and living water and being born again. You know what this lost person does instantly? Turns it to worship. She said, the Jews say you should worship here, and we say you should worship here. And instead of salvation and being born again and living water, you know, she began to talk about worship. Know what Jesus did? He cut her off short.
Right.
He said, ye worship you know not what. Salvation is of the Jews.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
His crowd that says we're going to be good church people and serve and worship our way into heaven.
Right.
Man, that sounds like you gaining some ground, but there ain't no Bible in it.
Right.
Boy, some Bible mess up a whole heap of preaching, won't it?
Right.
Jesus cuts her off short. You know, I heard a man preach a sermon one time, this kind of same thing. It's like a flour sandwich. Old flower smells good, don't it? I love to smell the flowers, and they're pretty, aren't they? We got some pretty flowers around our house, and my wife's watering them, doctoring them, but flour sandwich ain't going to do you no good, is it? Ain't got no meat on it, does it? There's a whole heap of teaching and preaching that don't have any meat on it. It looks good, and it sounds good, and it sounds spiritual, but there's no biblical meat on it. It's about what the Bible says. It's not about what you and I think. Ye must be born again, number one, because all people are spiritually dead, and we and our physical selves can do nothing about our spiritual deadness. Nothing. Point number two. We all have a desperately wicked heart. Even me, as sweet and kind, as loving as I am, and y'all all know that I am, I have a desperately wicked heart. I've just disappointed some of y'all, hadn't I? I can't believe Brother James' heart's desperately wicked. Desperately wicked. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Your baby boy has sinned and come short of the glory of God. Your baby girl, as sweet as she is, has sinned and come short of glory. Your granny, that has never said a cross word to anyone, sometime in her life, Granny Sally has sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. You know what all means in the original Greek? It means all.
That's right.
Everybody.
Yep.
Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 17. This is the verse you heard quoted often, but it'd be good to remember it and mark it in your Bible.
Yes, sir.
That way next time you get to feeling good about yourself, you can flip over this guy right here and realize, you know what? Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus, because if it wasn't for Jesus, there is no way I can make it. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 17 and 9. And all this about the desperate heart is completely contrary to anything you will hear on a radio or television or the movies. It's completely contrary. Look at Jeremiah 17, verse number 9. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above some things. That's not what it says, is it? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Not just wicked. That's like the old West, you had desperados. You had outlaws, and they might rob you bank or something. But if you had a desperado, that dude was desperately wicked. He'll shoot you and not even take nothing from you. He was a desperado, man. He'll shoot you just because. The heart is desperately wicked, the Bible says. You know, my daughter, she's got the Moana movie. I like Moana. I don't know Moana. And Grandma was talking to Moana and giving her some great advice. And she said, listen to what your father says and obey all what he says. But there may come a time when your heart, I'm paraphrasing Moana, it's Grandma. There may come a time when your heart says desperately and you must follow your heart. In other words, do what your daddy says until you want to do something different.
Yeah.
I looked at Sarah Catherine. She said, that ain't right, is it? I said, no, that is not right. She knows, right? And we rolled on through the movie and everybody got saved and the coconuts grew back. But that's what the world teaches. And someone is not in the church and doesn't have godly parents and then hearing what the Bible says, they're going to grow up and that's all they're going to hear. That's why you got a whole generation for the past 50 or 60 years that's been doing exactly what they want to, because they get their theology and their beliefs from a stinking booger box and not from mama and daddy and a preacher and the Bible and God. That's why. Turn to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter number 15. See what Jesus said about the heart. Surely Jesus knows that we can follow our own heart. Surely. Jesus knows what's in a man's heart. Jesus is going to tell us that Moana's grandma was right. Probably. Probably not. Look at Matthew chapter 15. Look at verse number 19. See what's in your heart. The Bible says, for out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts. When you think those evil thoughts, they're coming from your heart.
Right.
It's not the external sources may be affecting them. It may be helping the evil thought situation, but you know what? It's proceeding from your heart. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defile not a man. The Pharisees were talking about physical things, right? Because they were eating and hadn't washed their hands. Hey man, wash your hands before you eat. You nasty, right? But that's not what's defiling you. What's defiling you and I is coming from the inside, and it's in there. And it was born in there, and that's where it grows at. Before people commit adultery physically, you know where they commit it? In the heart. What the Bible says. Before people commit fornications physically, you know where they commit it? In the heart. You hadn't done it, and then that thought popped into your heart. It's the other way around. It's in your heart, and it manifests itself physically. The world says, follow your heart. Never follow your heart. Unless your heart happens to be backed up by what this book says. If what's in your heart is backed up by what this book says and God's placed there and you got peace about it, man, you help yourself. But if it's contrary to what this King James Bible says, your heart is wrong. And don't follow it. Amen. Now you're going to wind up in the stinking ditch.
Right.
You're going to wind up in the ditch after divorce court and having come back from the doctor. That's where you're going to wind up. So when you talk to these people, and I've talked to them, and you have too, probably. If you witness very long, you're going to find some patterns. People are going to say the same thing to you in different ways, but it's just patterns because it's human nature. So when someone says to you that they're no worse than anyone else, you can say, you are absolutely right. You are absolutely right, sir. You are absolutely right, ma'am. Your heart is desperately wicked just like everybody else, and ye must be born again.
Yeah, amen.
So we see that we must be born again because it's a spiritual matter. There's nothing you and I can do physically about the spiritual matter, our spiritual deadness. Nothing. We see that we must be born again because we all have a desperately wicked heart. And thirdly, we must be born again because even if there's something we could do to save ourselves, we can't keep ourselves saved. Brother Jeff Davis says, I heard him say it many times, he said, I couldn't keep myself saved 5 minutes because a wrong thought would pop in, a wrong deed would come out, and all that salvation that we had earned through our deeds would be lost. Quick. Deeds, ordinances, laws, ceremonies, dress code, sacrifices cannot keep you saved. Can't. Dress right. Put some clothes on. Some decent clothes. Fix your hair to where everybody knows you're a man and not a woman. Fix your hair to where everybody knows you're a woman and not a man. We pulled up at Walmart yesterday. I bought some ribs, man. Ribs is great, divine swine. And we pulled up, and Seen a lady get out of a car. And had a boy, what did a teenage boy look like? Don said, that's a woman, a girl. And I said, no, it ain't. She said, yes, it is. But she had herself fixed in such a way, you couldn't tell.
Yeah,
that's what she wanted. It's good to look like what you are.
Yeah, amen.
It's good. You know what? The Bible says that the law is good if a man use it lawfully.
That's right.
Thou shalt not kill. Hey, it's good not to be killing people.
Yeah.
Don't be killing people. Thou shalt not steal. Don't steal my stuff. If you need it that bad, I give it to you, probably. But even if I don't steal my stuff. I was at work the other day, and ain't just a few of us there. And I carry a sandwich and a bag of Bugles. Man, I like the Bugles. So at lunchtime, I go to get my sandwich out of the refrigerator, and my bag of Bugles is laying on top, and my bag of Bugles is open. And I tried to talk myself into, they were just open to start with, right? Something happened when I brought them. But I had a handle on them and threw them in the truck and carried them around. Didn't spill no Bugles anywhere. So I got a suspicious mind. I still believe somebody opened my stinking Bugles. Man, don't be stealing stuff. It's good not to steal. But not stealing is not what's going to help keep you saved.
Amen.
We come here, we preach, we sing, we take the Lord's Supper, communion, we do all that. All these things are good, but they won't keep you saved.
Amen.
It can't do it. If you keep your salvation, which if you're born again, you don't have a choice, it's going to be because you are kept by the power of God. Not by your own power, not by your own witness, not by what you do. It's going to be because God Almighty Himself kept you. Because that soul of yours that He cleansed once, finally, forever, He sealed with the Holy Spirit of God, and it will never sin again. You're going to sin in your flesh. You're going to say the wrong thing, think the wrong thought, do the wrong thing. But your soul will not sin again. Why we keep our salvation. Man, I used to work with a guy, and he's some part of that holiness crowd, and he's a good guy, and he knew a lot about the Bible, read the Bible all the time. He could quote it to you. But they liked the whole long sleeve, no mustache, no beard. I can't grow none of that no way. If I could, I'd have a stinking beard out to here, man. I'd look like Moses or Elijah or somebody. I can't though, right? But they don't have none of that because that'll affect your salvation, and the women, the hair have to be a certain length. And he was telling me one day, and he was like, he's a grown man. He was like giggling like a child. He said, yeah, it's like my wife. She ain't cut her hair in so many years. When she lets it down, it goes all the way to the floor. He said, she feels like it's better to be safe than sorry. Like she won't, like if her hair grows exceedingly long, she'd rather err on the side of being too saved than being not saved enough. That's what he said. Just kind of stunned me. I ain't had nothing to say back about that. I normally had something to say back. He'd tell me about how you lose your salvation. I'd have something to say, but that's one of the beatenest things I've ever heard. You can't keep yourself saved through that. Turn to Leviticus with me. Let me show you an example. I run up on this years ago, and it's kind of some of them things that you just read through about 400 times, and then God will slap you upside the head one day and say, look at that. I put it in there for a reason. Look at it. Y'all done that before. Look at Leviticus chapter number 8. We're not going to read them, but in verse number 22 through 30, they're making sacrifices, burnt offerings, and they're anointing and consecrating Aaron and his sons And they're putting the blood on the great toe and the thumb and the ear. And they're consecrating Aaron and his sons for the priesthood. It's what they're doing. This is the way God told them to do it. And they were following to the T, man. Blood atonement, blood sacrifice, consecration. But look in verse number 31. We're going to start reading there. Leviticus 8:31. And Moses said unto Aaron and to his sons, boil the flesh at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and there eat it with the bread that is in the basket of consecration. All this is holy stuff, man. As I have commanded, saying, Aaron and his sons shall eat it. And that which remaineth of the flesh and of the bread shall ye burn with fire. And ye shall not go out of the door of the tabernacle of the congregation in 7 days, until the days of your consecration be at an end. For 7 days shall he consecrate you. So they were blood sacrifice, atonement, cleaning the eyes of God, consecrated. And God told them, stay in the tabernacle for 7 days. Do not go out. You stay right inside that tabernacle, inside the church house, and don't you come out for 7 days. Because you're consecrated, and you're holy, and you're pure before me. Look at verse number 34. And as he hath done this day, so the Lord hath commanded to do, to make an atonement for you. Therefore shall ye abide at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation day and night, 7 days, not supposed to leave, and keep the charge of the Lord that ye die not, for so I am commanded. So Aaron and his sons did all the things which the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. So here's some people, and that blood sacrifice had been made and applied. I don't understand the ear and the thumb and the toe. Maybe the pastor could help you with that. And they're in the tabernacle, and they're as clean in this Old Testament as a person can get. And it said they did exactly what the Lord told them to do, and they stayed right there in that tabernacle for 7 days, just like the Lord said. They in the church house, and they clean. Look at chapter number 9. And it came to pass on the 8th day, after the 7 days, that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel, and he said unto Aaron, take thee a young calf for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering without blemish, and offer them before the Lord, and unto the children of Israel thou shalt speak, saying, take ye a kid of the goats for a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both of the first year without blemish for a burnt offering, and a bullock and a ram for peace offerings to sacrifice before the Lord, and a meat offering mingled with oil, for today the Lord will appear unto you. So he said, take all this stuff and tell the nation Israel to bring this stuff, and you can offer it for a sacrifice. Look at verse number 5. And they brought that which Moses commanded before the tabernacle of the congregation. And all the congregation drew near and stood before the Lord. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded that you should do. And the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. And Moses said unto Aaron, go unto the altar and offer thy sin offering and thy burnt offering and make atonement for thyself and for the people. And offer the offering of the people and make an atonement for them as the Lord commanded. Aaron therefore went into the altar and slew the calf of the sin offering which was for himself. Here's a man atoned for, Old Testament atonement, blood sacrifice, sin, peace offerings made. God said, you stay right here. You're consecrated. You are clean. I'm going to consecrate you for 7 days. You stay right here. Don't you leave this tabernacle. Right. And on the 8th day, the first thing the man had to do was offer a sin offering for himself.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
He didn't do a very good job of keeping himself safe for seven days, did he? You know why? Because it's a spiritual matter.
Yeah.
It's not a physical matter. He had all the physical things exactly just like what the Lord said do, but he still had a deceitful, wicked heart, and that cleanness, he could not maintain it. Say, well, that's Old Testament. I got news for you. Your heart's just as wicked.
Yep. Amen.
If the pastor hadn't been gone and I was in charge, I probably would have made them gold calves too. And lied about it. I just threw it in the fire and it came out. You know he lied. You ain't threw that in the fire and it came out. You were a liar on top of it.
Yeah, right.
So what? So what do we do? Right? Turn to Hebrews chapter 7. Let me show you why you must be born again, because you cannot keep yourself safe.
Right.
Hebrews chapter 7. God's speaking about the priesthood of Melchizedek. You don't hear nobody name that, do you? Charles Melchizedek. Then you call both names, they're in trouble, right? Look at Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 22. The Bible says, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Man, thank God for something better.
Amen. Amen.
That Old Testament, man, thank God for it. But the Bible says if it was perfect, there wouldn't have been a need for a new
That's
one.
Right.
And Jesus said this New Testament was in his blood. Look at verse number 23. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. Man, they had known a priest, and next thing they know, that dude be died. He just all the time died. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Who's this they speaking about? It's Jesus Christ. Better covenant. Unchangeable priesthood because he continueth ever. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us who was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not... Who needeth not, the Bible says, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices first for his own sin.
That's right.
He don't need to offer up sacrifices for his own sin because he's God and he's holy and he's pure.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. To offer up sacrifices first for his own sin and then for the people, for this he did once.
Yep.
When he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of oath which was since the law maketh the Son who was consecrated forevermore. That old Aaron, that dude was clean and he was atoned for and a sacrifice had been made. He sat right there in the church house for 7 days and you know what? He couldn't keep himself clean and holy and pure. But thank God we have a high priest.
Amen.
And if you'll come to Jesus Christ by faith, Lord, I believe you died for my sin, save me. The Bible says ye shall be saved, ye shall be born again. And that high priest that we have, his priesthood ain't going to change.
Amen.
He doesn't have to continue late sacrifices because he was holy and pure, the Son of God, God in the flesh. He made that sacrifice once.
Yep.
And when you trust him for your salvation, it is a forever salvation.
That's
why we must be born again, because we cannot keep ourselves saved. You know what kind of salvation we have? We don't have a could-be salvation. We don't have a might-be salvation. We don't have a sometime salvation.
Amen.
The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe your heart that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says ye shall be saved. We have a shall be salvation.
Right.
Thank the Lord for it. Brother Brian, would you close in prayer?